This season of the WNBA has gone to new heights.
And that means the playoffs are going to be hotter than ever.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson.
And all WNBA season long, we've brought you analysis and interviews with some of your favorite court queens.
So for the finals, you know we're bringing takes you can only find in this courtroom.
Listen to and follow Queens of the Court, a WNBA podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
But he's a man that called it in the beginning of the season when he talked to this station. He's John Morosi, and he said, I don't know why anyone would be sleeping on the Guardians. And John is on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. I should have got lottery numbers for you that day when you said that on the air here. And I'm like, man, John, listen to the optimism he has for this team. So you're not surprised at all where the Guardians are at this point.
What? Andy and Dan, I would only wish that all of my predictions are that accurate, first of all. So I appreciate you remembering that, and thanks for the invitation to be on the show this morning. The Guardians have an outstanding ball club, and it's evident to me that they are also built well for the postseason when you consider how good their bullpen is. Yes, they've had to go to that bullpen a lot, but I do believe that they are perhaps the rare team that will benefit from the break, because they have had to go to the bullpen key guys so often. So I think they've got a fantastic pen. And then I love their lineup as well. And that they've got, I think, one of the best five players in the sport, probably, and Jose Ramirez leading the way. And he's got great numbers against the Tigers. So it's should be a tremendous matchup in the first ever meeting. It's amazing to say
it. It is amazing.
The postseason between these franchises.
What, 23? Oh, they played over 2,300 times, right? That's what you tweeted yesterday, right? Isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, it's amazing. I was thinking to myself, the last time that the cities of Detroit and Cleveland had a really consequential postseason meeting, LeBron was involved. I mean, it hasn't happened very often. It's amazing to think about it. And we're still waiting for that Browns-Lions Super Bowl. One day it'll happen, but I think in the meantime, this is something for, I think, fans in both states to really appreciate.
So, John, when you look at this team, you know what? Let's go this direction first. What do you think of the playoff format, and do you like the idea that we're seeing two AL Central teams go against each other, and we're seeing it in other divisions too, as the Dodgers and the Padres are going to go against each other in this five-game series? Is this good for baseball?
I really think it is, and to your point, we'll see the Mets and the Phillies for the first time ever in the postseason as well. Padres, Dodgers, that is a really intense regional rivalry that I think is going to captivate fans across the country. The Royals and the Yankees, for fans of a certain age, they've got a longstanding rivalry too. It wouldn't surprise me if you've got fans from Cleveland driving up to Detroit and vice versa because of the proximity. I think those are all really great storylines. It certainly wasn't the intention necessarily that it would work out this way in terms of the format dictating any sort of divisional play, if you will. But it is unique that three out of the four series are intra-division. And, of course, in the American League, really, it's a fairly small geographic area in the grand scope of things, where it's just Midwest and Northeast on the American League side at this point in time. So the format. And let's get one more year's worth of data. I'm talking about this year before we really start drawing too many conclusions. It is true that the teams that have had the byes have struggled in these series. And last year we had two wild card teams meet in the World Series. Of course, the 2022 champion, the first year of this format, was a team that won their division in Houston. So from that standpoint, maybe some of that immediate result of last year is a little bit exaggerated, but there is something to baseball and the rhythm of the sport where when you've got a hot team that had to play really well down the stretch to get in, like the Mets, like the Tigers, the Padres didn't exactly squeak in, but they had to play really well the last 6 weeks of the season. So these teams become really dangerous to have to deal with during the course of the playoffs. And if the Guardians don't win this series, I think fans will correctly point to the layoff and say, hey, maybe it had more of an impact than we even expected it would.
John, is there any way to, like, I don't see how to remedy, like, I'm happy they're at least playing best of three because I couldn't stand the one-game playoff. So, I mean, you go from, you know, 3-5-7, I don't know of another way to do it unless you were like, I don't know. I can't think of a different way other than this 3-5-7. Do you have any ideas?
I think you're right, Andy. If you take a couple ideas as given, if that is A, that you like C six teams being in the postseason in each league, mm-hmm. which gives you 12, which expands it from what it used to be, but still makes it the most exclusive postseason relative to the number of teams in the league of all of the four major sports in the U.S. So it's still the hardest postseason to get to. And so if you build it that way, then that's basically what this is, the structure that makes the most sense if you believe correctly that you probably have to finish the playoffs in a month and wrap it up by the early days of November. Baseball for a long time has said, we want to avoid November baseball. We want to wrap this thing up right around Halloween. And if your season has 162 for obvious economic reasons, and if this is the, if you've carved up the postseason among multiple broadcasting entities, again, for economic reasons, this is the way that it has to be done. Now, we can argue and say it may result in more random results, and that's true. It totally does. So does hockey, for example.
Yes.
And look at the history of my co-favorite sport and how many times the team that wins the President's Trophy also wins the Stanley Cup. It almost never happens. Almost never. And I think that that's part of the joy of the Stanley Cup playoffs, the unexpected team, unexpected season. And I'm okay with that in baseball. The fact that the first year of this, the team that had the bye was Houston. And if memory serves, in 2022, when they won the World Series, they won every game in the division series and they won every game in the ALCS. So, and that was a postseason tested team. So we'll see. It's going to be an interesting test case. But it is certainly an obstacle. I heard Matthew Boyd talking the last couple of days about the Guardians trying to find ways to simulate game conditions. That's a noble effort. It's really hard to do. And I think the playoff experience like the Astros had 2 years ago was probably paramount in their ability to handle it. And we'll see how the Guardians do here coming up.
All right, so let me throw this at you just because you brought the hockey thing. Because we had some people, I brought that up the same thing about a week ago. You know, would Major League Baseball be served with a President's Cup? I don't know that it would mean anything. The other thing is, could you go back farther into March and start the season a little earlier so you could do a best of seven for the wild card? Although you still got teams sitting out for a long time. That doesn't solve that problem.
That's the issue. And so I think that the issue is the number of days that you have off. That is the big problem. And you know, I was covering the Tigers as a beat reporter back in 06 when they swept the ALCS, and then they showed up in the World Series and were just flat, and they never got going. And then the next year, Colorado did the same thing, swept the ALCS or swept the NLCS, went to the World Series, got swept. It's challenging. This is a rhythm sport. And it's not at all like any other game where, trust me, in hockey, when a team sweeps, they're ecstatic because everybody's beat up at that time of year physically and they need the time to recover. Baseball, part of why it's so amazing and so much fun to follow, and my dad and I talked about this a lot growing up, it's the one sport that you can't play better by playing harder. In most other sports, at the end of the day, if you just like play really good defense in basketball or in hockey, you throw a big check. Something you can do with energy and effort, football, big hit, it's cathartic and it gets you into the game. Baseball, the harder you try sometimes, the worse you do. And that's why it's such a difficult thing to have the layoff. It's a real obstacle. I think the Guardians, you know, the one thing you would look at is they have some hitters. I think Ramirez is in this category. Kwan certainly is. I think Manzardo, I like his approach a lot. They have some guys who have relatively simple approaches that I think are not as susceptible to the big layoff, if you will. Whereas if you've got a big time power lineup and you just sit for a week, a lot of those power hitters rely on timing and some of those specific things that involve in launching the ball. Whereas I think Kwan, Ramirez, their approaches I think are simple and straightforward and a little easier to replicate even when you have a layoff.
This season of the WNBA has gone to new heights.
And that means the playoffs are going to be hotter than ever.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson.
And all WNBA season long, we've brought you analysis and interviews with some of your favorite court queens.
So for the finals, you know we're bringing takes you can only find in this courtroom.
Listen to and follow Queens of the Court, a WNBA podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
John Marosa joining us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. He will be on the TBS broadcast of the Royals Yankee series. Also, you can catch him doing all sorts of coverage on MLB Network as well. Watch him there. John, what does it tell you that three AL Central teams have made it to this part in the playoffs? Does it mean that we can stop making fun of the AL Central for being bad baseball?
I told my colleagues in the network yesterday, I think we should just move the network to the Midwest. It's where all the good teams are. So I told them that and over in New Jersey yesterday. So we'll see if that happens. But I think that the AL Central has certainly gotten some respect. I mean, obviously right now they're 4-0. That'll change tomorrow. They'll be 5-1 and certainly after the first game. But the way that the teams have played and the stars in this division, you could argue that they've got the best pitcher in the world, which I think Scooble is right now. He is that. And then with Witt and Ramirez, you've got certainly two of the best five players in the American League and easily two of the top 10 players in the entire sport. So there is plenty of star power in this division. People don't always realize it. And by the way, you'll probably have Lugo and Reagans will be in the top five in the Cy Young race. And this is not all because of the White Sox being in the same division, okay? This is not merely a fluke of that. It's certainly the and my friend Ken Rosenthal wrote a really good column about this at The Athletic this week. It is true that the Yankees should feel like the path is there for them to win the league. They of course have had to contend with the Astros many times in recent years, and they are out. They've had to contend with the Orioles in their own division. Baltimore's played them very tough. Now they're out. So the Yankees will look at this landscape, or at least Yankee fans will, and say, listen, this should be our year. And admittedly, it really should. You've got Soto and Judge. You've got Cole. You've got still a good enough bullpen, even though there's been some ups and downs with Holmes. The Yankees, they're the favorites, and rightfully so. But when you look at the way the American League Central has played out, these teams are much better than I think anybody realized. And I love that the Guardians, the Royals, and the Tigers have all come at this from different angles. And by the way, all three of these teams have managers that have arrived in the last several years where there's a lot of new energy. I think Vogt has done a phenomenal job in his first year. And I do think the AL Central in a lot of ways is back on the map. We've got more of the elite eight of baseball is from the AL Central than any other division. So please drop that stat on all your friends from the coasts here in the coming days.
All right, John, I do want to ask you about Terry Francona yesterday. News breaking that he's probably heading to Cincinnati. I'm not surprised at all. You tell me. Are you?
Well, here's what I would say. I could tell that when he stepped away, that and even some different things he had said since then, that he talked about how it was time to step away. But he also, and you both know this from being in the market there, he was very careful last year to not say, I'm retired for good and I'm walking away for good. We know that he's been through a lot physically on his body. I think the time off, I know people that I had spoken with said when they had saw him or talked with him during the season that they felt like he had almost all of a sudden aged in reverse, that he looked younger and more excited and was feeling really good. So, which is obviously awesome to hear. And I think that for me, I'm excited for Terry that he's getting back in the dugout. That's where he wants to be. He loves the dugout. I remember the year that he spent broadcasting for ESPN. I remember I asked him, we had a conversation when he had taken the job in Cleveland the next year, and I said, hey, what do you think about all this? And he basically said, and I'm paraphrasing here, he said, people said that you know, by being away from the game for a year that you might get some new perspective on things. And then I stepped away and I realized that I had no perspective. I want to be back in the dugout. This is just what he wants to do. And he did spend the 1 year, 87, he played for the Reds. That was right when I think Eric Davis was still on the team and he was a big superstar. So he's got a connection to the city, a connection to Ohio, certainly. But more than anything, he just loves the game and loves to teach. And that's a team that I think will benefit a lot from his leadership, almost similar to what the then Indians were when he arrived in the early part of the 2010. So I think it's going to be a great story for baseball, and certainly for Terry, and I'm wishing him well.
John, as always, we appreciate your time. Outstanding work, and you know it's always fun to talk to you, especially when you throw the hockey stuff in there. I love that too. So, and we'll make sure
you got it.
We're watching you, MLB Network, TBS. You got the Royals and Yankees series, right?
Yes, I do. Yeah, I'm here in New York. I'll head over to the Yankee Stadium today for some workout day notes and conversation. So Thank you so much for the invitation, and hopefully we'll be talking more as the postseason goes along.
Thanks. Sounds
so
outstanding. Sounds thank awesome, you, John. Thank you.
You got it. Thank you.
You got it. All right, John Morosi on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
This season of the WNBA has gone to new heights.
And that means the playoffs are going to be hotter than ever.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson.
And all WNBA season long, we've brought you analysis and interviews with some of your favorite court queens.
So for the finals, you know we're bringing takes you can only find in this courtroom.
Listen to and follow Queens of the Court, a WNBA podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.